Good morning. This is Fred Gillenwater, pastor of Russell Road Church in Sydney. We appreciate you joining us this morning and the opportunity to serve you. Our services are Saturday evening at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 9:30 and 11 a.m. If you would like to contact us, please visit www.russellroadchurch.com or call us at 492-6412.
I have struggled against all the blessings you've sent, and I'm back to the place of surrender. Lord, you meet me here in my darkest hour, and you stir my heart with your love.
We're going to continue in this area of identifying the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist, remember, anti means to oppose, to challenge, and to be against. That's what we're going to continue to talk about, and we're going to identify it. And remember, it's not to be looking for it in somebody else. It's to be looking for it in ourselves. So turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 3 through 5. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself.
All right. We looked at the different ways to identify this Antichrist. Remember, anti means to oppose, to challenge, to be against. And then Christ, remember, is the word Christos, which means anointing. So it's to be against, to oppose, to challenge the anointing. And see, the anointing in 1 John chapter 2 is what God is trying to develop in you. And it talks about the Antichrist in there, but really the issue is not the Antichrist. The issue is the truth and God trying to get the anointing in you and you to learn from that anointing and to walk in that. And so that's what people avoid is the truth. See, the truth calls you to change. And that's what people try to skirt around. And when that happens, they end up in groups and different things and divisions, remember? So the idea is, number one, we said a novice. What's a novice? 1 Timothy 3, verse 6. It says, don't put a novice in leadership. And a novice is a transplant. I used to think a novice was a person who's immature and young. But a novice is not. A novice is somebody who may be in ministry, may be an elder in a church in California, and then they move here, and then you find out what they did in California, and then you put them in leadership. That's transplant. He says, don't do that, because you risk pride and him being puffed up. If he comes over here and takes the same position, he's going to get full of himself. That's why he says, don't put a novice in leadership. Am I making sense? So the idea is, because the spirit of Antichrist can get behind that, and it will be full of pride. Now, fleshly, remember we talked about that. So the last tape, I went into detail on all this. And a person who is competitive is number three. And then remember we talked about the groups that come up in the body of Christ. Where our church is growing, these groups show up, sectarian groups. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in that chapter, he talks about these groups. And some said, I'm of Apollos. And some said, I'm of Paul. And some said, I'm of Cephas, which is Peter. And some said, I'm of Christ. Remember? Well, some said, I'm of Paul because Paul had visions. And so what they were saying is, we see visions that you're not seeing. In other words, they're telling that Paul, the leader, we see something you don't see. We're not listening to you. We're going to get our group and we're going to do what we want to do here. We see something you're not seeing. Then they form a group. We're of Paul. And then they said, we're of Apollos. Apollos was a very intellectual, golden tongue speaker, very intelligent. He said, well, we're of Apollos. We're going to follow him because he's intelligent. He's smart. He understands. We're going to go with this group. That's what this group is. Join this group, and we're the smart ones. Then there was Sophias was, we're of Peter. And Peter was, remember, Peter was a disciple. We're of the ones who were close to Jesus, the disciple close to Jesus. We're the rock. We're the rock church. And then the last group said, we're of Christ. We're the true church. We're the church that has the truth. We're the group that you're in our group. We're the real church. We meet over here at this night. You show up. We're the real thing. We're the real thing. You see this? Am I making sense? And I catch this. Here's the idea. Nobody started. Did Jesus start those groups? No. Did Paul? No. Did Peter? No. Did Apollos? No. Those groups just come up out of ignorance. They just start to show. And you know what they're doing? They're going around the truth. Because the truth demands change. You see that? The truth demands change. And that's what we have to do. We have to create an environment that's full of truth. Remember, John chapter 1, the Bible says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. See, folks, the body of Christ is to be full of grace and full of truth. Jesus said, I'm coming for a church who worships me in spirit and in truth. I'm coming for a church that's in the truth. See, people who are in the truth. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is trying to get you to the truth. Well, that calls us to have to change on the inside. And that's what we want to avoid because it's painful. Remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? And he said, not my will, but your will be done. You see, when we do his will, sometimes that calls us to change and it can be very painful. And that's what people do. They avoid that. And see, that happens in the local church. If you say I'm committed to the universal church and you're not plugged in and connected in the local church, you're not going to be doing anything in the universal church because you, a spirit of Antichrist is working through you. And you have the potential to deceive many. Because I'm going to tell you something. If we're not willing to come up under the Word of God and God's order in the local church, the body of Christ, folks, we'll never get to the truth. Because that's where it takes place. The Word of God is continued spoken over you, and you receive it, and God is going to develop you, and he's going to use people and difficult things in the body to develop you, to get you to where he's trying to get you. And that's where that anointing, that influence, increases in your life. So you'll be effective in what God created you to be. So that's the idea. And that's what we want to do. We want to be a people. I don't care if you're a prostitute. I don't care if you're a drug addict. I don't care if you robbed. I don't care what you've done. You keep coming. And this body is going to keep giving the grace and extending the grace and the truth. And I'm going to tell you what, you will get to where God is trying to get you to. Am I making sense? Because see, that's what we do. We're not going to judge anybody. Well, they keep coming and, you know, they're doing the same thing. So what? Pray for them. Bless them. Encourage them. Am I making sense? That's what we do. We don't get all caught up and we're going to try to change them. It's the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is leading us into all truth. Not you and all your rules and what you think somebody needs to do. Oh. That's the way it is. When we will do that, folks, the presence and power of God is free to move in our lives and help others and build them up and get them to where God has taken them. Amen? Now, let's look at this. So another one was self-commending. People promote themselves. So go with me to 2 Corinthians 10. And then we're going to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 10 real quick. In verse 18. For not he who commends, catch that word not, don't miss it, for not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. That's the one who's going to be approved. I'm going to tell you something. God always approves of the anointing. And if you are willing to go through that, God is going to make sure you get to the people and affect the people that he's called and created you to. You see that? But when you got to commend yourself and you got to promote yourself and you got to tell everybody you're all this and all that, that's empty. There won't be no power in that. And there's a spirit of Antichrist behind that. You don't have to promote yourself. God will promote you. I have never asked to speak one place. It's always been by an invitation. And it's going to stay that way. Because I don't want to be a part of something I'm trying to wedge my way into. So go with me to 1 Timothy. And we're going to look at verse 3. For if anyone teaches, this is people. Okay, here's the sixth mark. Here it is. Undue preoccupation with trivia. Undue preoccupation with trivia. That's one of the marks of a spirit of an Antichrist. They have something that they know that you don't, that they know that you don't know, and they want you to know that you don't know that they know what they know. Did you get that? And they try to make you feel ignorant because they know. They know it all. Undue preoccupation with trivia. Here's where they are. It says, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine, word doctrine means teaching, with the cords, with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. That word proud means he's clouded. He's got his heads in the cloud and he can't see clearly. He's so steeped in what he thinks he knows that he's clouded. He can't see. And that word, and look what it says. He knows what? Nothing. Nothing. And it says, but is obsessed. Remember that word obsessed is the word nosos, which means diseased or sick with a terminal illness. You can't tell this person anything. This person will fight and argue with you. Oh, and they have an illness. They're obsessed with this trivia, these little things that they think they know. They're obsessed with it. And so you can't tell them nothing. So you know what the thing to do is? Don't even try. Don't argue with them, because look what happens. That's what it comes for. Obsessed with disputes. It causes disputes and arguments over words. And their words are empty. And look what it says. From come those arguments over empty words, this is what comes out of them: envy, strife, reviling, and evil suspicions. The Bible says where there's strife, in James 3:16, there's every evil work. I'm going to tell you what, strife is ugly. Strife will pollute anything God is trying to do. If you are a father in your home, don't allow strife to be in your home. Stop it, get it out. Strife will destroy a family. Strife will destroy a business. Strife will destroy a church. That's why if people are on the staff here and they get in strife, they're terminated. I'll fire them on the spot. I won't put up with strife, because strife pollutes anything God is trying to do. See, it's very important to understand this. And see, that's the spirit of Antichrist trying to come in and keep people from getting the anointing and people from being developed in God. Doesn't that make sense? All right, now look at this. Useless wranglings, they'll fight over it. That wrangling means they'll fight you over it. They'll go to fists and cuffs with you over what they think's right. Useless wranglings of men, corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth. That word destitute means to be robbed of. To be robbed of the truth. In other words, they are going to stand up for what they think is right, and they're being robbed of the truth that God is trying to get to them. You see that? What's the truth do? Set you free. Free to be what? Free to be you. You see, that's really what God is trying to develop. He's trying to get you. He wants you to see you and understand you. But because of these people, they can bring arguments and cause people to be robbed of the truth. You see this? Isn't this important? So now, go with me to 1 Timothy 1, verse 3. Paul admonishing Timothy. Look what he says. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some. There's that word charge. That word charge means strict orders. I'm charging you. I'm giving you strict orders. It was a military word. There's no room for anything else. I'm charging you to some that they teach no other doctrine. He's given them strict orders to not teach any other doctrine, any other teaching than what God says in his word. And look what he says. Nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in the faith. So Paul is admonishing Timothy and he's charging him. Why? Because even Timothy at times wanted to get away because the truth was challenging him to change. So he had to get tough on Timothy. Am I making sense? Because we want to go around it. Because it says you got to change. Now look at this. Strict instructions. Then he says, nor give heed, verse 4. The word heed means, this is what the word heed means. It means to turn your head toward. In other words, they come up with this trivia and these little words. And you start turning your head toward and you start listening. What they're saying. Oh, yeah. Because you're starting to hear something that's stroking your flesh a little bit. And you've been going somewhere where the truth is saying, hey, you got to change. You know, God's trying to do something in you. You thought, well, no, I'm going to listen to this. And you start turning your head. You take heed to something that has no substance. And that word heed also means to be preoccupied with a notion. To be preoccupied with a notion. In other words, now you're preoccupied with a notion that has no substance, no eternal value. And that's what happens. Now watch this. And he says, nor give heed, don't turn your head towards, don't be preoccupied to what? Fables. The word fables is the word Greek word mythos, which means mythological. In other words, made up stories. Actually, you could say lies. In other words, they're listening to things that they really have no truth in it. And they're really listening to it. And they're starting to think about it. And it's really moving them in a direction away from what God was trying to get them to. It says, which cause disputes. See, when you're listening to that mess, it is going to cause disputes and arguments and chaos and confusion in your life. And these people, Paul identified them as Gnostics. I did the history on this, and they were Gnostics. They were always caught up in trivia. And they thought they were the enlightened ones. We know stuff that you don't know. You need to listen to us. Yeah, you need to listen to us. And they would begin to take these little trivias, and people would walk, they would get pulled away from it, from what God was trying to get them to. Here's the idea. Nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies. The word endless means unrestrained. Unrestrained. The word genealogy means research. So they were caught up in unrestrained research. It had no validity. It had no substance. And that's what people were listening to and taking and being preoccupied with. And it says, disputes, it causes disputes rather than godly edification, which is in the faith. Which is in the faith means faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, the revealed word of God. In other words, the real revealed word of God, it was causing them to go away from that. You see that? It was causing them to go away from the revealed word of God because the revealed word of God says, hey, I'm trying to do something in you. I'm showing you something. I'm uncovering it to you. I'm helping you. I'm giving you a peek of where I'm trying to take you. Look what it says. Rather than God, which causes disputes, rather than godly edification. Godly edification means to rebuild, to restore, and to remodel the body. So this trivia doesn't restore, it doesn't rebuild, and doesn't remodel anything. In other words, the people didn't want to give to it. It literally means stewardship. Stewardship, healthy stewardship, builds the body, builds the kingdom. People are changed where there's healthy stewardship and godly edification. You see that? People are changed. Lives are changed. The kingdom of God is advanced. You see, this is why it's so important to understand this. Because, folks, I don't want to be a part of that other mess. And remember, I'm not looking for the Antichrist in anybody else. I'm looking in myself, right? Okay. Now, the purpose of the commandment is to love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Now, watch this, verse 6. From which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk. Idle talk. Now, look at that. That term, idle talk, or having strayed, the word strayed means this. Failed to set their aim. They failed to set their aim. They were not focused. They had no focus, and so that's what happened. Unrestrained research. They had no focus. Look at the next part of this, verse 6. Having strayed, and then it's have turned aside. That phrase, have turned aside, it means this. It means to be dislocated. It's the Greek word ectropalamio. It's the Greek word ectropalamio. That's a word, isn't it? But this is what it means. It means to be dislocated, out of joint. So in other words, that's what this does. It dislocates you from the body, gets you out of connection with the body. And why? Idle talk. Idle means empty. Someone's speaking trivia, idle talk, and you get to listening to it. And it dislocates you from what God was trying to get you connected with. Now, go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Still caught up in the trivia, preoccupied with trivia. But now we're going to move to another Antichrist spirit, and it's called ear tickler. An ear tickler. You got to be aware of an ear tickler. Okay? So this is what Paul is admonishing Timothy. Now watch here. Chapter 4, 2 Timothy. I charge you, there's that word charge, military word. I'm giving you strict instructions. Don't deviate from this. Strict instructions. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing. He's saying, I'm giving you strict instructions before God. And that word before, this is what it means. In his presence and his eyesight. In his presence and in his eyesight. God is looking at you when you're in his presence. And he's seeing what you're up to. That puts the fear of God in me. As I stand up here and minister to you all, that puts the fear of God in me. Am I making sense? God is watching everything. Everything. Now watch this. So what's he say? Verse 2. Preach the word. Preach the word. And that word is the word logos, which means the written word. Preach the word. The word preach means to proclaim, to herald, to make it plain, to make them help them understand. Preach the word. Preach the word. And he says, be ready in season and out of season. In season means good times. Out of season means bad times. In good times and bad times, preach the word. Herald, proclaim, teach, help them understand God's word. Am I making sense? That's what the call on a minister is. Then he says, convince. The word convince means to reprove. To reprove. And this is what it means. It means to speak with the facts about problems in the church. That's what it means. The word convince. And to reprove means to speak with the facts about problems in the church. That's what we're doing right now. Are you with me? That's what we're doing right now. We're doing it right according to the word. Am I making sense? And that's why it's so important to understand this. He says, speak about the facts, about the problems within the church. So convince them. And it also means to demonstrate a point, the word convince. Then he says, rebuke. Rebuke, the word rebuke is a merciful term. But now look what it means. It means to make an example of someone. It means to sharply oppose. So in other words, When you make an example of somebody and you sharply oppose them, that's really a merciful act. Because you're saying they can hang in, they're still in, but that, you see, you're just helping them see their error. That's a merciful act. Go with me to hold yourself there in chapter 4 and go back one page back to chapter 2 and look at verse 17. This is huge. Look what he says. And their message, meaning the ones who are, you know, ear ticklers, and their message will spread like what? Cancer. The word cancer in the Greek language, you know what it means? Gangrene. Gangrene. You know, what do you do when you get gangrene? You do what? You have to cut it off, don't you? He says that's what their message is doing. It's creating gangrene in the body. Cancer in the body. Spread to destroy the body. That's what these messages do. The ones whispering on the corners and, you know, all that. And look what it says. Will spread. And he says, Hymenaeus and Philus are of the sort. These were disciples of Paul. These are the ones that Paul walked alongside of, knew them, and taught them, and helped them. These, now they're turning on him and tickling people's ears, trying to get him away. Come on now, am I making sense? That's why you got to understand this. Because the very ones that are right next door, right there beside you, will turn on you. That's pretty important. That's very important. Look at your neighbor and say, you're in the right place. Now look. Now look. If you don't deal with this, it will spread like cancer. Now watch what, look what it says. Same chapter 4, second chapter. Preach the word, exhort. And then he says, with all, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and teaching. And teaching. You see, this is why we have a Wednesday night here. We teach the Bible. We teach the Word. It's so important that we teach and we teach and we keep teaching. Why? Because these folks show up in the church. And that's why you got to keep teaching and teach. That's why we had Paula, and that's why we have Steve, and that's why we have Sandy Hulsbush, and we have little Lynn Putnam. These folks are students of the Word of God. And they're going to teach, and they're going to teach the truth. This is why we got John teaching the youth. I'm going to tell you what, if I had any doubt, you know what I mean? John is going to teach the truth. As long as I'm up in here, right? So this is, we got to teach and teach and teach and teach. Keep teaching. Why? Because there's coming a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. There's coming a time. We're in that time. There's coming a time when they will not endure sound. When you have to endure something, you have to go through something, right? So what's this saying? There's coming a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. The word sound is the Greek word sozo, and it means saved, salvation. So there's coming a time when they will not endure saved teaching. You see that? Teaching that will save their soul. You see, God is trying to get the truth to them, but they want to go around it. They don't want to endure anything to get the truth where the anointing is to get them in the plan and purpose of God. Are you with me? And that's what they're avoiding, because it says you got to change on the inside. The Holy Spirit is leading you and guiding you into all truth. But you see, folks want to go out and get into their own little thing and go do their own thing. But there's a spirit of Antichrist behind that.
Been listening to the radio broadcast of Russell Road Church. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio 45365. We close today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.